woke up quick at about noon. Just thought that I had to be in Compton soon. I gotta get drunk.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects for hour number two as we continue to roll on way back Wednesday. I guess you could tell, and if you can't, you will know momentarily whose list this is, because he is just absolutely cutting rug in a
this was chair. Since you stole my Posse on Broadway, this was actually the second song that I would play in my car that actually sounded like I had a system, even though it wasn't. It was such a good bass song. Because that's really all it is. Because the music never... Because for a really good bass song to make your car hit, the rest of the song has to kind of get out of the way of the bass. It's got to be the only thing kind of playing when it hits. That's one of those songs.
Yeah, so. I like the way the bass plays in that song, how it elongates. And that's what you were looking for, I think, when you're rolling around in the car. At least back then. I don't know what
it is
like now.
I have DJ Magic Mike on my list. But
I had
that,
it and took it off.
That would get too low for my system. I didn't have, because you've got to have amps, but it would still, when it would get into the middle, into the high parts of the bass, it would make your car sound good. But when it would get so low, it would just, you'd be like, what happened? Well, no, because my subwoofers couldn't go that low because they sucked, and it was a Krako head or whatever, so it wouldn't register. So it would just be like, did it shut off? What happened? Like, there would be no sound, and then all of a sudden it would come back again. You'd be, oh, okay, yeah, it's just too low for my crappy system.
I was either a crack in the dashboard or something like that where it didn't matter what kind of subs I had, because at some point the dashboard was going to go...
Rattle?
Got too low.
Oh, that was the worst.
Yeah. Or it was internal. Underneath the dashboard somewhere, you're like, I don't know where the hell that's going.
Oh, are you that guy that you notice that when you're driving your car, if there's a little rattle?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, I have to.
You noticed it in my car, the one that flooded. You're like, what is that noise? Shut it off. I'm like, I can't. It's a rattle and it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But Barry's very keen to hearing any sound.
Repetitive noises, I might as well be Rain Man.
I really think my car was bothering him on the way to the Rockets game. He's like, what is this freaking noise?
Chews like tremendously. He's crushing Pop Rocks when he has Subway, but he hears everybody else.
But I've told you guys, I'll go off into a room by myself.
Us like that.
But that's my point. If it bothers me and it doesn't bother you, then why would I leave?
It's a thing with you. It bothers you.
Yeah, it is. He admits to it. I mean, he almost kicked me out for chewing chips the other day.
I own it. But it's also the repetitive noises. Like in your car, it was just this repetitive click. Like,
I don't know what the hell that damn rattle was, though.
If it's just like a something every once in a while, or a rattle that makes a different noise every time it rattles.
Mine was consistent.
All you had to do was wash it out. Oh, you did that.
Did you ever, know what it was, huh? I think it was within your AC unit.
I think it was because it did seem like it was only turning on when I had the AC on.
Yeah.
But I wasn't about to ask Toyota what was wrong with that. That thing was functional.
No. And then, my dashboard rattles right now. There's something in there just rattling. I just want a new car now. I just want a new car.
I used to hate customers coming up to my dad's shop asking about that. And the other thing is, you'd be surprised how many people get a rat stuck up in their dash.
What?
A rat?
Yeah, they'd come in and like, I have an awful smell. I'm like, I know that smell. You have a rat in your dashboard. Go to the dealer. I'm not doing it.
No.
It would happen a lot. A lot, dude.
Have you ever had a rat in your car?
I've never. They would get stuck. They would die in the hood.
That's
under
why
the hood
you don't eat your car, I guess.
Is that why? I don't know. I just think you're in an area full of rats.
That could be it, too.
Just a nasty ass.
That is gross.
That's really not good.
No.
Yeah. I worked for my dad 10 years. I want to say that happened at least 6 or 7 times.
No.
Yeah. Not exaggerating.
So about once a year almost.
Not exaggerating.
See how I Clyde Drexler'd that?
Yeah. I did it once because my dad just, the customer was like such a loyal customer. We always turned it down, but this particular customer was a good one. So we broke down like the entire dash. It was the most disgusting thing ever. Not only was the smell terrible the entire time, but once you got to the rat,
Then you had to, yeah.
Oh, that was bad.
See, if that was my dad's shop, I would have been like, hey, somebody that worked there, get over here and get this out.
Nasty.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, that's not good. That's nasty.
Yep.
Boom Boom said, what y'all's take on the talk about LeBron. We discussed that yesterday, and we said we weren't going to entertain that. It's too soon to entertain.
LeBron going to Houston again?
Yes.
Dang it.
It's too soon for that, guys.
And everybody's trying to look for something to talk about these days.
I'm not going to say never, and I'm not going to say it won't happen. What I'm saying is it's too soon to talk about it seriously.
Yeah, Chris Broussard was just people looking for clicks. That there's a definite chance, and of course Stephen A. said one of two players is coming to Houston next year, LeBron James or DeAndre Jordan. Which one would you want? Jeez.
I give props to Broussard for owning up to the fact that he's wrong about Chris Paul going to the Rockets.
Yeah, because he said it was a bad spot for him. Yeah.
Well, he said it was a big. He said he's making a big mistake. Is basically what he said.
Wait. Who?
Chris Broussard. You
know, he got something wrong.
Yeah.
What?
Well, he always gets something wrong. He just never owns up to it, right?
Like the fact that he can't say the word LeBron.
What does he say?
LeBron. Every time, and he says it like 15 times per sentence, and it annoys the hell out of me. Chris Broussard now to talk about the latest on LeBron James. LeBron James.
Like, he really likes to make sure he pronounces the full word, I think.
I know. I've been talking to LeBron, and LeBron and his guys say, I'm like, shut the hell up. It's LeBron. God, he annoys me. It's like Brian Windhorst at a drive-thru window. It would annoy the hell out of me. And he's Mr. LeBron, too.
I like that we started off the segment making fun of me because I get annoyed easily.
Yeah.
And it looks like about midway through, old Joseph has taken over getting annoyed super easily.
That was actually legit. That's a really say LeBron like that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You nailed it, though.
You know the Windhorst story, too, right?
No.
You know, Windhorst is the chubby guy.
He's Cleveland guy.
Chubby?
Okay, I'm trying to be nice.
I mean, you're being super nice to call him chubby.
We use the word fat on this program all the time.
We say fat all the time. Don't start censoring
LeBron
yourself
when
now.
When LeBron was in high school and decided that he was the local expert on LeBron James, he followed him. And all of a sudden, if you remember now, when LeBron went to Miami, Brian Windhorst became the ESPN Miami representative.
Yep.
Then when he moved back to Cleveland, Brian Windhorst went back to ESPN Cleveland. Brian Windhorst is everything LeBron. And he thinks he bills himself as having the ins with LeBron and his team. And it's just, it's made a career for him. This guy gets jobs all over. Yeah, no question about
it. Didn't he fall asleep on the air and he still got to get, well, if you're covering LeBron, I guess you get a pass.
He John McClain?
He's straight on TV. His excuse was he was looking down on the phone. He's like, if Ian Rappaport looks down, they just say he's looking at his phone. No. You passed out. That delay was way too long. You got to look at the video. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
watch it.
I don't recall that. I know.
Oh, it's funny.
I recall us talking about it before.
It's on the internet. It's funny.
When we made fun of McClain, I think it came up. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see it. I still haven't seen it. But that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. And what is it with you calling him chubby?
Just trying to be nice, man.
Like... That's
fat
not,
people have feelings too.
Yeah, but they're hidden. They're down there. You can't get to them.
I like how he's acting all sensitive. Yeah. Because when you make fun of fat people, you are the best.
Oh, come on.
Off the air?
Come on.
You are the best. Come on.
Come on, man.
You are the best person when it comes down to make fun of fat people.
I just did throw you
under the bus, but it's true. I mean, you can own up to it.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know that I won't even ask for examples.
No, I'm not gonna. No, I won't do that. I won't do that to you.
Well, then maybe
I should continue to make fun of him off the air. That's, okay, I'm entertained by that.
All right.
Is this really Charles Barkley's daughter that I'm looking at?
Is it Christiana?
It just says
her name is Christiana.
Is she
but
tall?
Unfortunately, her face looked like Charles.
Well,
for most of her life,
she does. She does, but she doesn't look bad here.
She works for TNT. She did work for TNT.
Did she?
Yeah. That's very light skinned. If that's the case,
is that her? Have you met her?
Yeah, but when she was younger.
Okay, not now.
Boy, I got a story for you on that.
Well, do tell.
Off the air.
We've got 2 minutes left. Go. The floor is yours.
So, for a long time, when Charles was here, Charles. And two of my good friends, one of them my best friend, was the four of us were like the show Entourage. And Charles would come in and we'd go play golf. And then he'd say, pack a bag. And we'd say, where are you going? He said, you're going free. You don't care. And then we'd end up going somewhere and we'd play golf and hang out for a weekend and go to Vegas and do things like that. It was awesome. Well, the one time he flies into town and we immediately meet at the golf course and we're getting ready to tee off. And let's just say one of my friends is not the socially smartest guy in the world. I mean, you always just kind of give him a pass because he's kind of – it was weird. He had two voices. He had the regular voice like this when he's talking to you. But then when he was talking like on the golf course, he wanted to be like with the guys. It was like, I guess there's a draw.
You told us about this guy.
Yeah. It's like Podsy. Yeah. Instead of Pards, which is a golf term, it's Podsy. Oh, God, Podsy, what y'all doing today? We used to say that was Brett being Brett. Okay. So the one day we get ready to tee off, Charles was rushing to get there. We're all on the first tee and we're like catching up. Hey, man, how are you? Hey, what's up? Hey, how you do? Blah, 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 blah. And so I go, hey, how's Christiana doing? And he's like, man, she's growing up like crazy. She's doing blah, blah, blah. She's doing great. And we're like, oh, that's great, man. That's great. He gets ready to tee off. And this guy, who is a notorious, we know, he's just like a womanizer. He's the guy that we're all wearing jeans. He's wearing dress pants and like a, you know, like a disco shirt.
Uh-huh.
And Charles is getting ready to tee off. And all of a sudden, in his backswing, this Brett goes, ah, you know, Charles, in a couple years, if she keeps growing like she's going, I might have to out of her. And we're like,
whoa.
What? And me
you don't
and
say
my,
that
and
to my, somebody's
so,
daughter?
So my best friend, Jamie, is probably 6'4", 260, 275. We got on either side of Charles, and we are like ready to go at a moment's notice going, God help us, we may not have a shot here, but we're going to try and slow him down. And Charles just picked up his tee, started walking back to the cart. We're like, hey, man, you heard that, right? And he's like, what? We're like, you heard what he said about Christiana, right? And he's like, man, if it was anybody else, but it's just Brett being Brett. And I was like,
wow, you got a pass.
I was like, brother, and I was riding with him. I go, Brett, if you knew how lucky you were.
He would throw you through a window.
Oh, my God. Yes,
literally.
And step on you.
He's done it before.
My God. We were like, oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Wow.
And Charles gave him a pass because it was just Brett being Brett.
Well, I can see how I believe it or not, I might do it only because I need it to happen in the moment. Like, if I heard it, you ain't stopping me at that point. You know what I mean? But if I missed it, it helps with the situation
but
a little bit. Oh, he did hear it.
He heard it.
Oh,
yeah,
my
you
bad.
You couldn't miss. There's only four of us on the golf course. And he heard it, but he was just like, yeah, it's just Brett being Brett.
See, I don't know. Like, I know, like, you have a daughter. If somebody talked about your daughter.
No. Uh-huh.
I've never been that sensitive. I guess maybe because of the way I came up, like, you know, like when you called my mom a whore to start the week. That didn't bother me because that's how I grew up. We would talk about each other's moms. So I was never that guy that when you told a mama joke or said something like
I'm
that, that it would bother
that,
me.
Though. Yeah, everybody when they used to so get that big
if you
chick
talked
about your mama.
If you talked about my sister or my dad or what, like none of that bothered me. But now there used to be a guy that I worked with when I worked at Cisco Foods. And one time, just joking around, he said something about my wife.
That's off limits too.
And I didn't even realize it because it had never bothered. But it made me so mad that I told him I will hurt you if you say something derogatory about my wife again. And that's when I realized, like, oh, now I get why though. You know, it was like it was weird though because I was conditioned to not like oh the mom jokes and the family jokes was all just part of growing up and being friends.
Exactly.
It wasn't a big deal, but that one bothered me, and it was like. Oh, I see why people get angry now. I do. But that's cool that Barkley blew that off because, ugh.
Man, I'm
a lot of
you
folks
what.
Would not have. Could you
and
imagine
again,
if somebody said that about Taylor?
Oh, my God, I'd go nuts. Because that's the thing. Because you're right. Because amongst us, when we'd go to a restaurant or anywhere else, the waitress would always go, why do you guys even sit at the same table? You hate each other. And we're like, you don't understand. If we weren't ripping each other the entire time, something would be wrong with somebody. Like,
wait a minute now. Because I rip you all the time, and you actually don't like it. And
now
you
got to be friends. You got to be friends to be in the circle.
Well, that's
to have
true.
That
we're definitely
of,
not
that,
friends.
That trust, you have to have that
we
trust.
Don't like each other.
You have to have that trust factor.
That's true. We're not friends. You're a good point.
But like you know, that's what was part of the deal. But again, even when that's part of the deal, there are certain things that were off limits. Like we would never. Those that were mature and smart enough in the group would never bring that topic up.
Right.
Like that. But hey, you know what?
Wow.
You live and you learn.
That's nuts.
All right. Lance Zierlein's going to join us next for the first, the inaugural time.
Yeah.
The superstar will join us on air. We'll be joined by Lance Zierlein for the next segment as we continue to roll on The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN
97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Lance is somewhere in the office doing responding to fan mail, so there's a good chance that he won't be here till his usual time, which is going to be 2:30 on Wednesdays.
I thought it was 1:30 on Wednesdays when we agreed to meet with him. Is that wrong? Did I not get the memo?
We'll ask your majesty when he comes in, and then Highness will tell us which he prefers.
Lee on Twitter said, my buddy recently had a rat get in his hood, chew up wires, and it cost him $800. And I said, I've never heard of a rat being trapped in a car in my life, and now I'm hearing of it multiple times in one day. How have I missed these stories?
I'm with Barry on that. I had never heard that.
And I would have never known about it if I wasn't working for my dad, but because it's never happened to me at any of my cars.
Yeah.
So I don't get it either. I guess it depends on where you live. You know what I mean?
If you live near the Astrodome.
If you live near the Astrodome, that might be one. That might be a bad spot.
I can see, like, you know, here's the thing. I can see in certain neighborhoods, cats like to get it, you know, when it's cold outside, they like to get under the car. Stay warm. I could see something like that happening, but rats?
Yeah. I read a tweet from Boom Boom. So Justin said, why did you text or tweet yourself? No, that wasn't me. That wasn't the rapper Boom Boom. That was the listener Boom Boom. I didn't get that.
That went right past me there.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. He was referring to my rap name.
You've
been
in a lot of hours the last couple days.
I have.
Yes.
A rat. Look, another one. A rat chewed up the wires on my sister-in-law's Nissan Armada. Cost her $1,200.
Oh, I'd be so mad.
You got to. This makes
Why
you want
to. Why are they eating the wires?
They're hungry.
They're and stuck. The wires trying to chew the way out of there, I guess. There's plenty of garbage cans in the neighborhood.
This makes me want to put my car in a bubble and just protect it. That's weird.
Barry's going to be driving down like the moonwalk or what do they call them here? The bounce house?
Like the art
Barry's
cars?
Barry's truck's going to look like a bounce house going down the highway.
Yeah, I'm
going to
wrap it in bubble wrap like an art car. And just call it a Christmas gift or something. I don't know.
Crazy. I actually have the internet now, so I can participate
in
the show.
Good
for you. Fantastic.
What would you love to talk about?
Well, we'll find some things along the way.
Yeah? I noticed you put something. I was curious what you meant because you didn't post a link.
Okay.
In our rundown. You just said Astros working on a deal, ?
Yeah,
what did you mean by that?
There were tweets last night that and people were interviewing Lunau and Hinch that said, we've been working on something. We hope to have an announcement in the next couple of hours. And then I was scouring to see if they had actually followed through on anything. And there were deals made and consummated, nothing from the Astros.
So that was their actual tweet or someone else's tweet saying they said that?
It was from an interview, and I'll try and find it. Lunau did an interview with somebody that said they were working on something. It might have been Nick Scherf. I'll have to check.
Okay.
No, who's our guy that we have on during the Kaplan.
Yeah. Jake Kaplan.
Jake Kaplan.
He's not the one that said it.
I'll have to check it. I think it might have been.
Okay.
But I know they were working on something and then nothing came to fruition, but we know that the fire sale continues in South Florida.
Yep.
Scott Boras has now referred to the Florida Marlins as a jewelry store that's now just a pawn shop. They're just unloading left and right. Latest is their outfielder Ozuna has been traded to the Cardinals. So he's gone. Now, is it Brandon Yelich?
Yep.
He's next to go.
On the chopping blocks.
Christian Yelich, excuse me.
I was about to say, that was the sales
guy. Brandon
was
our sales guy here. Yeah. Yeah. Christian Yelich. Now Jerry Krasnick is reporting that Yelich is no longer in play as a trade candidate. Now that the Marlins have moved Stanton, Gordon, and Ozuna, they can easily afford to keep Yelich. And if you're Yelich, don't you just want to stay? No. Get me somewhere else yesterday.
Yeah, you want to be the young guy coming up as part of the rebuild process, not a guy that's stuck there.
This is the way it's worded. Yelich will only make $7 million this season.
Only.
And he's owed a guaranteed $44.5 million through 2021. The club feels that's a club-friendly deal. But in the case of Stanton and D. Gordon and Ozuna, bye-bye.
You think?
Wow.
You want to be the guy in the rebuild that starts with the rebuild and comes up through it, like Altuve. You don't want to be the guy stuck here or stuck there like Pence or somebody like that. You want to be a part of the rebuild, not included.
Be a part of the growth.
Yeah.
100%. I did want to ask you a baseball question because I did pose this on the Delamere Hill program, but did you see the report by Sports Illustrated's Tom Verducci on the fact that Yu Darvish may have been tipping pitches and how they were scouting? Any thoughts on that? You think there was
plenty of Astros without wanting to be public about it because they were afraid they were giving away a secret.
Well, there was an unnamed Astro. Who do you think it was?
Alex Cora.
You think so?
Yeah, because Alex Cora is known as one of the best in baseball, in the history of baseball, at reading tells on pitchers. And so the rumor behind the scenes was that it was Alex Cora who first picked it up and was showing, or you know, giving that to the Astros themselves. But the other organizations have also said they found a tell for Darvish as well. And essentially what it was is, if he's throwing you a breaking ball, when he puts the ball in his glove, he would move his hand around trying to get his grip set and correct.
When he put the ball back into the glove, the set position, right?
Yeah, when
right.
he would come set and he would put his hand in his glove, he would fiddle with the ball in there to try to get his grip for his breaking ball. And that's how you knew, well, this isn't going to be a fastball. So you knew if he was still in his glove when he came set, it's probably a fastball. Now all you had to do was guess location.
Yep.
So, yeah. And I mean, I'm not confirming it's Alex Cora, but Alex Cora has been known.
I'm just getting your opinion.
Yeah,
I mean, some people were saying Beltran because I think he played. Producer Tyler was saying Carlos Beltran because he played with Yu Darvish, I think, for a season with Texas. And so, I mean,
times the tells that you learn from your own teammates get fixed. You don't. I mean, Darvish isn't going to have a tell, and people on the Rangers know it and not fix it. So if they play together, when you leave. Unless you discovered the tell and you didn't mention it to anyone, and then you take it with you, which rarely happens, because when you're, if you've got a guy, if you're a Ranger, if you're Carlos Beltran on the Rangers, you want to win. You don't want Yu Darvish going out there and tipping his pitches. So you go to him and say, hey, it looks to me like this happens, and I know it's a fastball. And it happens all the time in baseball where your own teams, you scout yourselves. The pitching coaches will scout, other you know hitters will scout the pitchers on your own staff and say, hey, I think you have this as a tell. Second baseman, because you're back there watching this pitcher throw constantly, you start to pick up on tips as well. So if he did, I wouldn't guess that it would be a Ranger or a former Ranger, because those tails would have been fixed. It's got to be somebody that really looks for that, and that's a guy like Alex Cora. So
well, that's good stuff. You're absolutely right. And I had heard several of the other players mention it as well, that they could pick up something with him. But speaking of having the red ass and speaking of the Rangers, you think they're a little upset the Astros won the World Series? They are doing everything in their power to load up. They are now in trade discussions with the Arizona Diamondbacks to get Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
So they're looking,
I didn't know that.
So they're looking at Greinke. Who did I say? Yesterday they were trying to make a trade. Who was it that we were talking about yesterday? They were trying to make a trade to give up one of their good young players.
More call.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. The break.
A pitcher?
I think so.
Jake Arrieta. Archer. Was Archer another one?
It might have been
the
Chris
Rangers.
Archer. Yeah.
I don't know. We can look on like the hot stove league and see what's going on.
Yeah, so they're absolutely, they are active right now, signing guys and trying to make deals. So the Rangers are trying to catch up to the Astros in a hurry. But the winter meetings continue in Orlando. Interesting to see if the Astros can get anything done to try and improve the squad that won the World Series a year ago. Lance Zierlein, the APB, is out. His face is now in the back of milk cartons. We're hoping to somehow locate him before the hour of 2:30 so we can get him in the studio and join us, talk a little scouting of offensive linemen and videotapes.
Yeah, break down the footwork. Do you remember this song?
I don't.
This was more of a Southern song, I think. I don't know if it, because this came out, this is MC Thick Marrero. I think it's MC Thick. Is that
you're
what
right.
I was saying?
Yeah. You're right, but I mean, I don't know if it's the...
It's his list. I hope he was right.
Yeah.
Well, no, it is right, but I just, I don't hear a lot of bass.
Yeah.
It's there.
Fail him, Nick.
It's
fail
there.
Him.
I'm just saying, I'm calling you out like I called Joel.
You can hear, you can tell by the snare drum that's an 808.
Okay.
Don't let him talk you into it.
Don't let facts get in the way of you. I don't know if this was a hit like nationwide or not. I know this dude's from Louisiana, and it was big down like on the Gulf Coast, but I don't know if it went nationwide.
Yeah,
or not.
I don't.
It's a good song though.
Ring a bell to me.
Thuggish.
Okay.
Used to make the old Omega bump.
There you go. All right, so we're going to try and find Lance Zierlein and get going on. We're at the midway point of the show. We'll take a break, come back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. And, of course, if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, where you can call or you can text or you can hit us on Twitter, and we are all available.
All right, guys. We all know that Hurricane Harvey has come. It's gone. It's left its damage. It's done its destruction to our city. And a lot of you are out there still needing to rebuild your homes. I mentioned the other day about my uncle. He's back in his house, but everyone on his street is still their house is not repaired yet. And you might be in that situation because a lot of people in this city still are. You're waiting on a FEMA check. You're waiting on contractors. You're waiting on sheetrock. So you're sitting there with a repair bill and you know how much it's going to cost. What you don't know is, do you want to go through it? Do you want to go through this again maybe later if it floods again? Or do you want to sell it and move on? And that's where Gulf State Home Buyers can help you. I want you to call them, 281-717-6100. Give them a call. They're going to come out. They're going to look at your home, and they're going to give you a cash offer for your house. Because it might be a better option to just go ahead and sell it and move, maybe find a place that is at less risk of flooding. But at least if you give Gulf State Home Buyers a call and have them come out and give you that cash offer, you can use that, compare it to what it's going to cost and the time it's going to take and the headache of repairing your home, and then make an informed decision that's best for you and your family. So call them, 281-717-6100. It's Gulf State Home Buyers. The last 2 years, they've won the Distinction Award from the Better Business Bureau, so you know you're dealing with a company that you can trust and that's trustworthy. They've got an entire in-house staff of professionals ready to help you, from title companies to attorneys to anything that's needed in the process to get your home sold and get you that cash. They have them. They're there, and they're ready to help you. 281-717-6100. It's Gulf State Home Buyers. You can find them on the web at gulfstatehomebuyers.com. The folks at Gulf State, they're there for you, and together we will keep Houston strong.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We found the milk carton, so that means Lance Zierlein has been located and is joining us. He just got out of his Bentley, and his assistant told us he would be in momentarily.
Farnsworth? That's right.
That's right.
Farnsworth Bentley, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
That's, yeah, he's my personal umbrella holder.
Mm-hmm. So, and he does a hell of a job, too, by the way.
Great job.
Even with the no rain in the forecast.
Great guy. Well, you know, sometimes it's the UV rays that get you.
So when you said you were having your car worked on, it was to get the tinted window replaced in the back or something else on the limo?
Yeah, we're just working on having strobe lights put in the back.
Nice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's fancy.
Kind of a party car.
We haven't gotten to talk to you since you've been back on the air here at Gow.
It's about time. Y'all been trying to shut me out.
How's it going?
It's going good. It's going fun.
Are you glad to be back, or are you just lying to us?
No, I'm glad to be back. I'm having fun. If you listen to me on the air, which clearly you're not, Barry.
I do.
We're having fun. Like I'm having. I don't blame you.
I get up at 10:30 to come do this show. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No. No. I'm really having fun. It's. Yeah. You know, I just decided I'm not gonna. My whole idea about sports talk is changed over here because I'm not. When there are topics that are real topics to talk about, we're going to. I'm not going to play the old game that you force feed a topic because you're going to play the low hanging fruit and play the lowest common denominator and do dumb sports talk just because you're trying to mac on to any ratings you can get with the most simple of simpletons. Mm-hmm. You know what? If something's fun to talk about, you talk about it. I don't want to do Texans talk 24/7 about their safety position or whatever because I want to have fun doing a show, and that's not fun. I mean, I think the Rockets are a lot more fun,
yeah, absolutely,
than the Texans right now.
What's a good mix for you? Because I know, like, for us, there's days or there's weeks where we'll be 50-50 sports and not sports.
Well, you know, honestly,
is there a ratio you try to stick to, or you just don't care?
No, it's always been like this. There will be some days where it's all sports and serious the whole time. There will be other days where it's like 30 sports, 70. Whatever fun stuff we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then I think it really depends on the time of the year, like what the season is and what, like when it comes basketball playoffs for this year's team, to me is probably going to start in about March, April, James as an MVP. I did that at the last station too. And it's all organic. Like it's real. Mm-hmm. That's real. That's real talk you're having. You're not forcing anything.
Right.
So to me, I think it depends on the time of year. I always felt like, for me, like 70-30 always felt good about sports. Because a lot of sports is fun stuff that you can do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't all have to be Tebow, Johnny,
right.
You know, the same stuff over and over, the same topics over
and
over.
Well, the good news is you're not being force-fed ass clowns from the Rockets anymore that you have to talk to several times a week.
We used to have Joel on every week.
How did you do it?
we had it was actually fine. It was 7:50 in the morning every week. And we didn't mind it at all, only it didn't feel organic. Like, it felt like a schedule. That's forced. The thing. When it's scheduled, it feels scheduled.
Well, but you and I would have it. We'd make it fun. We could venture off a little bit. Now, that didn't sit well with my superiors.
Mine.
Yeah, but we just kind of would take it where it led us.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what. See, that's the difference between radio and TV. When I do anything with NFL Network or whatever, it's like those guys are stealing money. You come in, it's a shorter time frame. Everything's scripted. You got producers.
They do all the work, huh?
When I say scripted, I mean, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this. One of the great things about radio, and for people like me who are ADD, is that you get to go off the beaten path.
Yeah.
And you get to go where the show takes you. I mean, that's what I like about it.
Well, and first of all, credit where credit's due. And Barry's given you guys plenty of credit, too, along the way for getting him interested in radio. But you and I had some pretty good candid conversations when I left the Rockets and what I was going to do next. And you gave me incredible advice and some great guidelines to follow. And now you screwed him up by adding things to it. And I got to go back and edit my textbook. But, you know, that was one of the things that we learned along the way, too, was the fact that we can start on a subject, or sometimes we can start a show, and we had no plans or ideas that we were going to have this topic come up that would generate that much response from the listeners, and then all of a sudden it carries a whole show.
Well, that's why program directors can't always, you're not always going to be best friends with your you're certainly not going to see eye to eye with, because program directors say, well, we need to hit break at this time, and you need to have this topic, and you need to have this guest ready, and this is the formula you follow, because their job is to herd cats. Our job is to be memorable, is to be fun, and is to be, I think, spontaneous. You know, and sometimes spontaneous is an argument about a sports topic. It doesn't always have to be goofy stuff, man. Mm-hmm. It can be real stuff. But if people don't want to have a conversation about something that happened on your show, if you're not making people's lives, if the time they listen to you is not time they're getting away from their own lives, or you're not adding something, then you're just background noise. That's all you are. And I never want to be background noise. And there have been times in radio where I felt like that, and I was miserable. I just miserable.
Damn it, Charlie.
So you have to. Well, I mean, Charlie, who put somebody with Charlie?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's a great point. I wouldn't recommend
Charlie,
it.
Charlie's a machine.
Yeah.
You turn Charlie on, you turn a mic on, you get out of his way, and Charlie can roll.
Yep.
Don't mess with that machine.
Yeah.
Well, you've had a lot of experience with this, and the one thing I didn't ask you about is, how do you work with a partner that's just so difficult, it's hard to get along with?
Yeah, that's
Bernardo's
a great point.
Okay. those are, you know, you just have to fake it.
See,
fake it until you make it.
So that says a lot about a lot of things. If you're a good faker, then we'll just give you credit where credit is due.
You have to fake it, and you hope that you make bonus money on some of your when the ratings come in. You're like, God, I better be getting paid extra for this.
I know your back was awfully spent after carrying people for quite a while.
My lower back is
shot.
Still a little sore. Yeah,
but it's coming around.
Yeah, it's coming around. Yeah, yeah. I have to wear those things in the chairs. You know, those lumbar supports.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You have the T-Mac chair.
Yeah.
Up next, Lance is going to give you his top five worst sports guys he's worked with. Just kidding.
So the T-Mac.
AJ would. AJ was pressing your ass the other night.
Oh, did you hear that?
I did.
I didn't hear it. What did he do?
AJ's got full court. He's like going up against Nolan Richardson's Razorback team. Like, why is Todd Day in my ass all of a sudden full court?
He would not
that sounds
let it
about
go,
right.
And he kept
I enjoyed some hosts more than others, but I'm not putting anybody on blast. I mean, I enjoyed certain things that working with all the hosts that I had. There are certain shows that you know, I had some good times with, and some hosts that I'm still friends with, and some
are Lee Mayberry.
Yeah. And so yeah. And some part
you,
of
we're,
I am friends for those. Yeah, Matt Thomas is a friend.
Okay. Yep.
Always has been. First guy I got in a radio
I wasn't
with.
Curious about him. I had other questions.
Matt Thomas is the nicest, hypersensitive guy I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, Matt, I don't think Matt wants to be liked.
Yep.
He's like a lot of people, and he doesn't. If you don't like him, I think it bothers him a little bit. And that's okay, but in this day and age of Twitter, it's tough.
It's hard.
You got to, you can't.
You don't
let
don't
that
check,
affect you.
Don't check social media, because back in the day,
if you're sensitive,
the
especially.
Only way you knew if people didn't like you is if they called and acted ugly to you.
Right.
And now people don't call sports talk as much anymore.
They just
it's
tweet
about
you or text you.
Yeah, it's text during your show, or you get hit on social media, and if that's the case, there's trolls on social media.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes, there. I found that out.
Yeah, so you have to develop thick skin, learn where the mute is, learn where the block is, and you move on.
So Matt and Josh Ennis will go to lunch someday.
They're friends. They're friends, aren't they?
Okay. Hey, we appreciate you
joining us. Something I don't know.
We appreciate you joining us, man. I can't tell you how great it is to have you a part of the
I'm excited,
family.
Man.
It's good. Good to be back. Well, you'll do this every week, and we'll just pick a time that the limo can drop you off on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'll check with my driver and see when he can do that. Make
That'd
it
be
happen.
Perfect. Yeah,
check. Or I'll just be in that office until 7 p.m. every single
playing with your joystick.
Day also. I've got a Xbox controller that runs the Vision film system. Though.
Sorry, our dad keeps calling it a joystick because he's stuck
in
the 80s, apparently.
I call it a joystick.
Yeah,
you're still
got
playing
more than
that
one button.
Centipede? Next,
I'm still playing I'm still playing Asteroids
Dig
on there.
Dug.
Sure it does. The motions you're making right now are not going to be socially acceptable. All right, that was Lance Zierlein. He's going to join us on Wednesdays as we continue to move on with the big show. We'll take a break, come back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Always good to have Lance around and hanging around the hallways on a daily basis. That's just going to improve the lineup that much more as we continue to build the Gao Empire.
We talked about how deep the lineup is now.
Yeah. I did find at least one of the tweets. Jake Kaplan did report that Luhnow said he's optimistic the Astros are going to make a move at the winter meetings or shortly after. Improving their bullpen remains the Astros' primary focus at the winter meetings. However, there were rumors last night that they were again pursuing a starting pitcher. Darvish's name keeps coming up, as well as inquiring about Gerrit Cole. I just don't see it. I guess maybe there is something more to this whole playoff philosophy of being able to use Morton and McCullers or other combinations to strengthen your bullpen. I know the one quote I saw from Luhnow is, if you do improve your starting rotation, that that means you have more pitchers that could go around and help you in your bullpen, and that thus process of elimination and who the starters are going to be improves your bullpen.
Yeah, I don't know about the Yu Darvish. That's the one that worries.
I don't want him.
Why?
I do.
You do?
I just want to see him fight with Yuli Gurriel. That's all.
Oh, that's what.
Well, maybe they'll bury the hatchet and you will come out with Yuli's hair. He'll come up with a new do.
Okay.
It'll be,
It would be the battle of the Yus. You and Yuli?
Yeah.
Just a couple of
Yus guys?
Yeah. Can you ask Lance if Milo on a mobile will be coming back? Well, sorry, I missed it. Didn't have a chance. That was all texting, no tweeting. He said, I would have loved to have heard his feelings on the Astros championship and just life in general. Lance does some great, great characters.
No doubt about it. SEC guy.
SEC guy has national prominence. That's what's crazy. Just the dude that he made up, and he's doing talk radio nationally. The people will call to get his perspective on legit SEC topics. It's silly.
His Philip Rivers is pretty damn good, too.
Yeah, really good. Barry, just wondering, does your cats get into your Christmas tree? Not anymore. They're too old. They don't care. One of them can't see, so he doesn't even know that we have a tree. The other one, the diarrhea cat, she just doesn't care. She's too scared to go get into the Christmas tree. So, no. Now, when they were younger, they would. But that's why we had to switch to a fake tree, because they would eat the needles. And I don't know if you've ever pooped out a pine needle.
I pooped out the gum. I told you about that. I don't know about the needles.
You pooped out a...
Remember the freshened up gum?
Yeah. But
as I got
a pine needle. I don't know about that, but that's
You can ask my dogs.
They get into the tree.
They asked. I told you the other day they got into the tree twice, and the second time yanked and it chewed right through an entire strand of lights. I had to take them all off, which basically means the bottom half of the tree had to be redone.
Yeah,
I was so ticked off.
Now, one thing they did when they were younger, they wouldn't necessarily get into the tree, but they would like play with the lowest ornaments, like knock them off. Because it was something, cats will be cats. So
what about eating them completely? Because I've lost five ornaments.
They
this
never,
year to
they
the
never
dogs.
Really.
Yep.
No, the cats don't do that.
We had some of the ornaments that looked like little stuffed animals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're gone.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the snack. Mm. They walk by and it's like, oh, the vending machine's free today. They look at the tree and go, I'll take this one into the bedroom and rip the hell out of it. Yep.
So we got this text in, and then I was curious why you're having your friends text the show. But it said, Joel needs to get Lance's chiropractor's number because his back probably hurts too. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, my friends are too. By the way, it was Jurickson Profar was who the Rangers were dangling for Matt Harvey that you and I talked about off air yesterday.
Okay.
They were going that route. Now they're looking to package a deal to get Greinke away from the Diamondbacks. And they've already signed a few relievers. So they are active trying to compete with the Joneses.
They need to be. Would they finish? They were last in the division, weren't they?
Or Oakland.
God, I don't even remember now. That seems like so long ago. They were second to last. You're right.
Yeah, Oakland was last.
It was, Rangers, they were 23 games back. Oakland was 26. Either way, still not
work
good.
Work to be done.
Yep. Definitely.
No doubt about it. So the winter meetings continue. Lots of rumors to be out there. We gave you the deals of the day so far. So we'll see what happens. Astros still having not done anything, but we'll see what they can possibly come up with between now and the end of the meetings. As I said, Jeff Luhnow said they hope to do at least one move before the end of the meetings. We'll see if that happens.
Well, they should. I mean, I feel like every team should make at least one move during the winter meetings. If you don't, then even the world champs have room to improve. So I kind of feel like if I'm a fan and my team, I don't care who it is. If it's the Florida Marlins, which they made a move, you may not be happy with it.
Well,
if you're the Twins, if you're the Rays, it doesn't matter. The Padres, you want your teams to be trying or at least showing that they want to get better. Now, the Marlins, you can question whether they are or they aren't. But getting out from under that contract on a team that has no chance of really doing anything over the next 3 or 4 years at least makes sense. So you can look at it positively. You don't want to because you're like, well, they're giving up. Well, they don't really have a chance. Giancarlo Stanton isn't going to win you a World Series by himself. He needs help. So you've got to basically start over. So that's what they're trying to do, whether you agree with how they're doing it. I don't know why you would just give him away like they did. But I think for them, for Jeter, it's one of those, hey, maybe we'll come up with a plan. But right now, let's just get out of all these bad contracts and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
So
I mean, look, that's exactly what's happening. And it's going to be interesting to see. The Yankees already trying to shed dead weight or where they don't have openings anymore as Chase Headley went back to the Padres in a deal. That they're trying to clear some salary room and to clear some space because they got guys with no trades that are going to really bog them down as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they clear space now to try and make room for everybody that they have.
How pumped are you?
I know where you're going. Well, let's hold on that one because
Why?
We only got 1 minute to go in this segment.
Okay.
And we'll get into
a full 11 minutes to breathe.
Let me ask you this before we get to that. How about that? All right. How much, since we know Nick would pay $20,000 for a picture of Tupac's Wang,
go ahead.
No, $20. Same difference. What would you pay for a golf lesson from Tiger Woods?
I would probably pay a lot of money.
Really? You would?
Yeah.
What's a lot of money?
$10,000.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, if I had it. If I had it.
Okay,
yeah,
so
that's
if you
the
had
thing.
Money, you'd pay $10,000.
Yeah.
All right, you're not even close. All right. So Tiger was doing this Hurricane Harvey Relief Pro-Am outside of Houston on Monday, and I think it was at Blue Jack National, which is his new course that he designed. They did an auction and at the draw party for a Pro-Am that they were organizing and put it out there that they will sell a lesson with Tiger Woods. The final asking price that was met, $210,000.
Yeah, not paying that.
Are you kidding me?
Nick could get 200 Tupac penis pictures for that.
How many Waffle House chicks does that include?
Well, it depends. I mean, you got to understand, after the lesson, the 9-iron's going to be missing from whatever clubs you might be using because that's going to be the one that the wife's going to be beating him with after he hits the hydrant.
200
$210,000.
For an hour?
House, you buy how many cars?
So is that just for an hour? I mean, how long is a lesson?
They didn't put a time on it.
Do I get
it? Normally, lessons are an hour.
Yeah. Have you ever taken golf lessons?
I had never taken a lesson until I got here.
Oh, yeah.
And I realized that, like, business is done on the golf course.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've taken several.
I think I told you the story about the one I took where after I was hungover, and I broke the head of my driver. The guy goes, all right, let me just see you swing. And I was like, bro, I'm really hungover, so I apologize. I know I should have rescheduled, but it was too late. But, you know, if I'm not in a talkative mood. And he goes, that's cool, no problem. So he puts the ball on a tee. He goes, just let me just see you swing it one time. And I get my driver out. And I hit about 4 inches behind the ball and snap the head of my driver off. And it flies 15, 20 yards down the practice range. And I follow through like a champ with nothing on the end of my club. And he goes, okay.
Wow.
I was like, I need to go. Can I just redo this? Oh, it was the worst. He goes, well, I see where the problem is.
But could he fix it?
No, he never could. I mean, I got down to I think I shot an 86 once.
Okay.
But no, I wasn't. I'm not that guy.
I haven't golfed in now it's over a year. I used to say a year ago in November, but now it's past that. So I haven't golfed in over a year, but I did have a 6 handicap when I quit.
It is more embarrassing, though, when you're at Top Golf and you can't swing. Because yes. Then the ball goes 6 feet in front of you, just falls down. You know what I mean?
Or you shank one and it flies.
That's what happened to me.
It hits some nachos on the people next to you, and you're like, my bad!
Or the people next to you having a party, and they're all in conversation, and they all stop and go... And it just gets quiet because they're all looking at the idiot who can't hit the golf ball. Yeah.
You shanked one? Oh, that's... We got to go.
Literally, the ball just... It just sunk.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
But it didn't happen
they're like,
by
sir,
the 15th or 20th.
Can we get you to go down to the lowest level? We don't want you to murder anyone below you. We've never seen anyone hit a ball that went under them. Talk about top spin.
Top spin. Top golf's a hell of a good place, fun place, though. We should do that. We should do an outing and do that.
Totally down for that.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, so we got two in the books, one to go. 1 hour left of the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. Nick taking over hour number 3 of Way Back Wednesday, which is songs that could make your bass go boom in your car, but pre-2000. He's just getting Siri to give him his last entries. He'll be putting that list together and putting it out there as we publish our lists every week now for you on Way Back Wednesday. But we're coming back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.